Hello, this is the Cult of Tea and Dice, and welcome to the first episode. That's so I've got a place to cut to put the music in. Anyway.
The beginning, it's a very good place to start, I think.
Yeah. I'm not Mary Poppins. Right, I am, however, Mordigan, and this is...
Bloodied. Hello.
Hello. And we have decided to make a podcast because,
cash money, well, bling bling.
Well, yeah. Basically, the thinking behind it was a bit confused and probably involved alcohol, but never mind.
And tea.
I should warn you, these chairs are very creaky and you will hear them a lot. You may also hear the absolute pissing rain outside and possibly my neighbours.
The rain should be something of a clue that, yes, this is England. If the dramatic English accents weren't a giveaway.
Let's hope so.
Well, you never know. They might have gotten confused and thought this was, I don't know...
Canada? May?
What are you talking about?
But anyway, back to who the fuck we are.
Yes.
Oh, before we go on, I should probably note there is going to be swearing.
Fuck.
Yeah. There is going to be swearing. This will be an explicit podcast. And when we go on to the actual plays, which we're still in the planning processes of, you will probably find that there will be adult themes, scenes of violence, and probably a guy's head popping off.
It will not sound like that.
No, I might actually, you know, get sound effects and shit.
Well, okay, if there's a sale on melons, all we need is a hammer.
Yeah, or, you know, I could go to any one of the millions of sound effect databases.
Yeah, but then we don't get to hit melons with hammers.
Well, I suppose it's that. Right, anyway, back to who the hell we are. I'm Mordrigan. I have been role-playing for an incredibly large amount of time. I started when I was 8, and that's quite a while ago. For the majority of that time, I've been running games, because my players are lazy, lazy, lazy people.
Hello, I'm one of those lazy, lazy, lazy people.
You have actually run a game now, though.
I am in the process of running a game. If you have been reading the blog post, I am currently running a Dresden Files campaign. I may well be running an actual play at some point as well.
We have no spoon.
We are also lacking a spoon for our tea. This is another recurring theme you'll notice. There is tea. There is a reason
we,
it's called
we've really got tea.
We've really got tea. There is a pot of Spice Imperial tea.
We'll get to
brewing in
that
front of you
in a minute.
There will be a tea review. Oh yes,
yes, there will indeed.
I've known Mordigan for just over 10 years, and have been playing in games that he's been running during that time. Yeah, just
pretty
over 10
much
years.
All of them.
Pretty much all of them, except Slay Industries. I didn't play in Slay Industries.
So
I missed Smiling Charlie, Cat in the Hat, The Eighth Pocket, and everyone being broken.
They were so broken. When you've got a mass murderer telling you, oh my god, you people, you're so broken, it's probably gone horribly wrong.
Or horribly right.
Yeah.
It is Slay Industries.
It was Slay Industries. As you probably guessed, I run a lot of different systems. We're sat in my games room, which I purpose-built to store games in. And there's a wall of games behind Bloodied. The majority of the things I'm running at the moment are 40k role-playing games. I'm running both an Only War and a Rogue Trader game.
I am Cedric Prager.
You won't see my blog posts about the Rogue Trader game because it's been running several years now.
Two years?
I think it was more than that.
More than two? Fucking hell.
I've got recordings from 2010.
So yeah, 13 years. Three years.
13 years! We've been running Rogue Trader since before Rogue Trader was written. Hooray!
Well, you know, we go into the war, time dilation happens.
Yeah. You won't be seeing notes on that because it would take far, far, far too long for us to explain what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
Because there's quite a lot. Quite a lot of fuck has gone on. I mean, there was the whole planet where you persuaded the Stone Age people to help you fight the robots, and then you blew them up with your ship by accident.
Don't blame me, I wasn't the one firing the guns.
No, that's true. You weren't the one firing the guns. we're the one shouting at the one who has fired the guns.
Oh yes, so that totally makes me guilty.
It was also your plan.
Okay, that makes me guilty.
Yeah, that makes me guilty. I've run Dark Heresy in the past. I actually ran two groups through the same campaign. We'll be getting to that later on. I've run quite a bit of Wifferup, both first and second.
That's Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay, for those of you not into acronyms.
Oh, good point. I've run a Skaven game relatively recently that the guy who wrote the
coherent Skaven game.
Yeah. No. Well, I ran two Skaven games. One wasn't coherent at all, and the second one wasn't coherent at all. The second one, though, the guy who wrote the Skaven book, I sent him what I was going to do on RPG down there, and he went, "You get it." So that was all good. I'm trying to think what else I've run relatively recently. I ran Traveller for a very short amount of time, but stopped running it because it was difficult to do things on the fly, and due to having a job, it's difficult to find time for shit.
Yes. You're also currently running Call of Cthulhu.
I am running Call of Cthulhu as well. Again, you probably won't get notes on Call of Cthulhu because it would be complicated. They're all related. They didn't know they were all related. Cultist Tigger. He bounces around and cuts out people's eyes. I've run a bit of Exalted.
Yeah.
I ran two games of Exalted, I think. I've run Slay Industries a couple of times. Once at a convention and once in my house. The one in my house. It involved the Cat in the Hat and him slowly becoming aware of the fact that the people he was trying to terrify and murder were absolutely broken, more broken than he was. I also do a fair amount of wargaming at the moment. Mostly I'm looking at Empire of the Dead and Malifaux.
For me, to be honest, a lot of those same games that he mentioned running, I was playing in. So there's that. As I've mentioned both here and on the blog, I'm currently playing and currently GMing a Dresden Files campaign. Most of my role-playing beyond that, though, is fairly computer gamey. I will be... Is that even a word? Yes, it is. I made it a word.
Computer gaming. Now officially a word.
It's got a Y on the end and everything.
You know what we're going to have to do?
We're going to have to pour the sugar in and stir it with that scalpel.
Not the scalpel. I'm thinking the pencil, because the pencil has been around less lead than the scalpel.
That's Zen, man. That's Zen. Not really, but, you know.
They're made of graphite.
Wargaming-wise, I am an off-and-on player of Warhammer 40k, specifically Orcs, because they're, let's face it, they're the only good guys in the entire 40k universe.
I'm very green-skinned.
They're far more altruistic than every other faction going. Let's be honest here.
Certainly
the canon faction. The White Sword's not included.
Yeah. I've got my own legion.
Not a chapter, they're a legion.
No, they're a legion. There's a reason why I have my own legion. Back when I started, we were playing Space Marine, which was very, very old. It was when the Empire started becoming the Empire that is now recognised in 40k. And I bought Space Marine, made my Space Marine Force, somebody else made their Space Marine Force, and we both chose Loyalists. So we had to come up with a reason why they'd be fighting, and thus the White Swords were born.
Which is a better reason than, you're Ultramarines, therefore we hate you.
Although that's also valid.
That's also a totally valid reason, because the Ultramarines...
Oh, gods. Don't get me started on the Ultramarines, we will be here all day. Also, don't get me started on jazz. We will be here all day. But anyway.
You're really about to do wah.
I will cut you.
With the pencil?
No, with the scalpel!
Okay, fine, I'll fight you with the pencil. Cue the Star Trek fight music.
Anyway.
Okay.
What was I going to say? Oh, yes. Why are we doing a podcast? Because we can, basically. That's what it boils down to. I've been listening to a lot of good podcasts lately. And I like talking.
I also like talking at length, using fancy words, what I got from a dictionary. I don't listen to many podcasts because, quite frankly, I'm a lazy, lazy person. Although in terms of...
Because listening to a podcast is so strenuous.
It's still more effort than I'm often willing to put in.
Gods.
It distracts from valuable time. I could be sitting in my chair. And so, yeah, don't point out the logic hole there, please.
Okay.
Although, not quite a podcast, because it does have video, but it's usually just a video of a guy sitting in a chair. I do highly, highly recommend the Counter Monkeys videos over at thespoonieexperiment.com. They cover a lot of ground that we might well be covering here, but he's not British and he doesn't drink tea, so we're automatically better. Yeah.
Xenophobia, right in at the start.
Anyway, well, we are British.
Well, we are British. We are good at it. We've practiced it for centuries.
Hell yeah.
But anyway, I was about to list off some of the podcasts. The reason I considered doing a podcast was because I've been listening to some excellent podcasts and, well, I wanted to get myself a bit of that action. The first one that I started listening to, which admittedly has fallen somewhat by the wayside, as Malifaux has dropped off a bit where we live, is the Gamers Lounge. It used to be a 40k podcast. It's now definitely a Malifaux podcast. Definitely a Malifaux podcast. Again, definitely a Malifaux podcast.
Is that because they like card decks or because they like whores in corsets?
I think it's just basically they really love Malifaux, and you can actually listen to the episodes where they go from 40k to having a bit of Malifaux in as well, and then slowly Malifaux starts taking over and over and over. Malifaux is a very good war game, it's just there's not really a very thriving Malifaux.
No. I have played a little Malifaux. It is a good system. It is also some degree cheaper than Games Workshop because you don't need to buy as much, and they really aren't price gouging the way Games Workshop do.
I would say I think their plastics are a bit more expensive than they technically need to be, because their plastic warbands seem to be coming out about the same price as their metal warbands. But they are very good models, and the game is very good.
Mm.
Another one that I've started listening to... Oh, he's making noise already.
Sorry. I put the pencil away from me.
You see, I cleared the table specifically so we wouldn't have anything that would rattle or make noise.
Except the chairs.
Except the chairs and us. Another one that I've been listening to is Nerd Poker with Brian Persain and friends. Right. How to explain... Like, they're all people who work in the comedy business in LA. So, you would expect, like, high comedy and to be well polished. If you go into it expecting high comedy and well polished, you will not find it in this podcast. It's kind of weird. It reminds me very much of the sort of games I was running in the early 90s, the sort of D&D, dungeon bashy type affairs.
So they're most of some basic sort of dungeon crawls?
Well, no. No, there's a definite plot line there that the GM is trying to run, but he's running it for players.
Ah, yes, I see your point, sir.
The problem with players is that they always want to leave New Orleans.
Yeah, we really do, because fuck New Orleans, there's going to be a hurricane.
They will always find the one bit of the plot that you haven't actually fully fleshed out and go, we want to go there and do that, because they're players. Sometimes I hate players. I don't know why I GM with players in my game, because I would just love to get rid of the players and just run the plot at some point.
And that's, ladies and gentlemen, it's how authors are born.
Mm. But, Nerd Poker it's quite entertaining. It's up to, at the time of recording, it's 16 episodes. It's weekly, so you can get a fix each week. It usually runs about an hour, hour and a half. And if you want to hear a grown man going, Diaradians. I don't know. He's just obsessed with Diaradians. It's well
worth a fart joke.
Yeah, well, it's because it sounds like diarrhea. but no, it's a good podcast. It's kind of old school gaming in that there's a lot of rolling dice and very little sort of description and such.
An actual role playing, as it were.
Well, no, there's some characterization, but it's mostly done as part of the combat. Such as Mildred the Dwarf, who is absolutely terrifying to everybody. She's so terrifying she can intimidate people who cannot speak her language. She just does the school mom glare.
I can see how that would work.
It doesn't look like that. You can't see it, it's probably for the best. Another good one that I've been listening to quite a lot is Minions of the Monster Master. See, I can remember their name, even if they can't. Hello, this is Masters of the Minion Monster. No, right. There's 60 episodes available from iTunes at the moment. Well, actually, no, there's 51 episodes available from iTunes at the moment. But I think that's iTunes getting confused. They play a lot of different games. I heartily recommend their Dark Heresy and their... Oh, I've just remembered something else. And their Death Watch. But, oh my god, only try and listen to the Mouse Guard ones if you're drinking. Because that shit does not make sense.
Oh yes, you tried to explain this system to me and it made no fucking sense.
Well, I can't explain it because I listened to them playing it and they could not make sense of it. And it's... The basic premise... They're mice with swords protecting mice from predators. Makes perfect sense.
It's Redwall, basically, yeah. which is cool. I never read the books, but hey, people like that.
It's Mouse Guard. There's graphical novels, that's fine. But then they started playing the game, and you listen to it, and you listen to it, and at some point during the afternoon when I listened to it, my brain melted out through my ears. Because... about three quarters of the way through, they get so utterly lost that nothing else happens in that episode. They just get lost in ever-degreasing circles. It's really good. The schedule for releases is a bit random. They've just released another one the day before yesterday, but there was a 2-month gap between the two. But yes, they're Dark Heresy... And their Death Watch stuff, well worth a look, very interesting. And then the one that I've been listening to the most recently is The Fandible. And there's a reason why I ended up listening to The Fandible. It's because they have some actual, well, it's mostly actual plays. I've only been listening to the actual plays. But they've got, actual plays of Unhallowed Metropolis, which is the game that we're intending to do an actual play. They're very good. They're very funny. Their Rogue Trader recordings are brilliant. It almost makes me wish I hadn't banned orcs as a playable character. But I don't think orcs would have fit with the current plot line that we're running.
Possibly not, but I still think that there is legs to the idea of a freebooter orc who's in Blood Axe orc who is Imperium loyal, who is on a rogue trader ship. He's Imperium loyal because he was raised that way as some kind of horrible freakish social experiment that blasphemes against the Emperor.
Which is what they've got. They also have a group for some time.
Nice.
Their Dark Heresy stuff, their Rogue Trader stuff, their Death Watch stuff. Not so much their Only War stuff. They played Only War once, and it sounds like the dice decided to kill them all. I didn't play the 99 drinking game, but I'm glad I didn't, because I'd have been dead from alcohol poisoning.
Let me guess, this is what, take a drink every time someone dies?
No, take a drink every time someone rolls 99.
Oh, I see, that would make more sense.
You've played Rogue Trader on days like that.
Oh, yes, yes I have.
Yeah, you'd have been drunk, at least, if you weren't, like, dead. But no, the Thunderball is a very, very good podcast. I heartily recommend it, and their Unhallowed Metropolis stuff is brilliant. I'm just trying to think if there's any others. There's a few other Malifaux podcasts out there. The Aether Fox, Malifaux, those sort of things. I have to admit, I have mostly stopped listening to Malifaux podcasts recently because I'm not playing Malifaux. But that's pretty much it. We heartily recommend that you go and join up to all of those podcasts. After all, if you're listening to this one, you'll probably enjoy them.
Yes, but they're not as British.
Yeah, they're not as British as this. What we're intending to do is we're intending to have a review cast, much like this one, and then an actual play cast. Once I've managed to, you know, herd the cats that are my players. Meow. That's terrifying. But we're hoping to release two every month, so there'll be a review one probably towards the beginning of the month, and then an actual play probably towards the end of the month. Incidentally, we're probably going to be recording this one well before it gets released, so, bear with us. Well, I'm going to have some of my tea.
Yes. So, yeah, if any kind of... We don't mention any kind of major world event that's just happened when this was released. We're really, really sorry. But I totally called what the Pope was going to do.
Yeah, everybody knows what the Pope's going to do. It's what the Pope always does.
He single-handedly invades the Falklands. What the fuck, man?
It had to happen. Hand of God.
Yes. Yes.
Right then, so we will actually go on and start with the tea review. We are currently drinking. We are currently pouring into our tea the dried leaves of Wittard's Spice Imperial Black Leaf Tea. Supposedly, a fine black tea scented with the rich flavours of sun-baked spices. That is not incorrect.
No, it is spicy. It's very...
It's got cinnamon... Citrus peel, cloves, and vanilla. So it's kind of.
I can't really taste the vanilla. I'll be honest with you. I can definitely taste the cinnamon. I can taste the clove.
Hmm. Yeah, I can't taste the vanilla either.
Yeah, but that's good because I'm not a massive fan of vanilla.
No, nor am I.
But this is nice. I don't usually go for the spicier teas.
It's when I travel for work on occasion, and. I travel to America quite a lot. And I should warn you, Americans, you have terrible tea.
This I can confirm with. I keep ending up dating Americans, and I keep going to America, and I keep having to... I swear to God, it's like you guys wave the tea bag at some hot water, and then say, fuck it, that's tea.
Seriously, your tea is terrible. I went to a specialist tea shop in Pittsburgh. I bought some Assam. We will review Assam, don't worry. And I went back to the hotel all pleased that I'd got Assam in America. I made a cup of it. I drank it. I wanted to die. It was terrible. You know the worst sort of builder's tea you can get in England?
Yeah.
It was worse than that.
Fuck me, sideways with a spoon.
Assam. Done so badly, it was unbelievable. So I went to Starbucks and had one of their chai teas. For those of you who don't know, I think chai tea is, you take real normal tea, you take Chinese five spice powder, and you keep adding the five spice powder until you can no longer taste the tea. And then you drink it.
Yeah.
For some reason. So, that kind of put me off spiced teas, but I go to Wittard's and I sniffle a little, because they have tiny little pots of leaves.
Test the pots.
Yeah, the leaves. and I go around and sniff them all, because I'm a genetic mutant, I should point out. I've got more taste buds than most people. So
you're like the worst X-Man ever then, basically.
Yeah, I've basically got more taste buds than normal people and can generate static electricity. It's amazing.
Yes, you run up to people and lick them to give them electroshocks.
No, just walking near them. It means like building computers is something that I can't do. Because I pick the chips up and that's it, they're dead. It's not great. So I went around and I tested all the little test spots, and this one smelled really nice, which is odd for a spice tea, because usually they're a bit powerful.
Yeah, they're a bit pokery.
Well, this one's actually quite nice. It's sort of, I don't know what black tea it's using. I don't know if it says on the side. No, it says tea from more than one origin. I suspect there's a fair amount of Assam in there.
So it's mixed race tea. No one fucking tell UKIP we're drinking this, or we're going to be in trouble.
Shit, yeah.
I mean, I'm already in trouble with UKIP because, you know, I bat for the other team, so. Mm.
You do realise that the Americans will not know what that means.
To the Americans listening, that means I'm a homosexual.
Just so we all know.
Yeah.
But anyway, where was I? Tea. Yeah. Sorry, I lost my train of thought there. It's not a massively strong tea. It certainly keeps you awake, though.
Yeah.
Because we've been drinking it before playing Cthulhu.
Mm.
You haven't fallen asleep in a Cthulhu.
But to be fair, because I've been running late for Cthulhu, I've not actually been having the tea all that often. I've mostly been surviving on energy drinks.
Yeah.
But I'm working later shifts now, so I'm not falling asleep in games as odd. I even managed not to fall asleep last night, which was odd considering I'd been asleep for 3 hours the night before and was polishing off the bed part of a bottle of rum.
Yeah, that's how we roleplay.
Sometimes.
I think last night went alright for you guys. This is the Rogue Trader game, in case you're wondering.
We had a pitched battle in the middle of a village. I was somewhat drunk. And sleep deprived, but we still managed to defeat a larger force.
Less well armed, I think. They were larger but less well armed, although the flamers.
The flamers are fucking horrible, and those tanks could have been nasty. But we survived.
The heavy plasma guns dealt the tanks quite handily.
God bless you, heavy plasma teams.
Yeah,
you so cool.
Well, team. Anyway, back to the tea.
Because
we're on the tea review session. It's quite a pleasant tea. It's not the sort of tea into which even a barbarian would put milk.
Like me. No, I completely agree. You don't really put milk in spiced tea. You don't.
Good God, man.
No, you put that in normal tea.
No, you don't.
Well, you do if you're me.
Yeah, you do if you're a heretic. Now, I have to put sugar in tea, which some people tell me is also heretical, but that's because everything tastes more bitter to me. But I don't put milk in any tea, because that's heresy.
I disagree, but what do I know?
Tea in first, or milk in first?
I always put the tea in first.
And then you add the milk.
And then you add the milk.
And then you cool your tea down.
Yeah.
You see, there are two schools of thought in England. There are people who think that is heresy, and they always put the milk in first and then pour the tea on it on top. And vice versa.
So that would scald the milk.
Yes, but some people like that, I assume. I don't do milk in tea anyway. I blame my doctor. Give up all dairy for 3 years. Why? I don't know.
And did it work for whatever the hell it was supposed to do?
I don't know. Neither does he. He forgot why he asked me to do it.
He's a doctor. He probably didn't even know why he told you in the first place. I mean, look, I work in the pharmaceutical industry, by the way. So I know how full of shit doctors are a lot of the time. Just like, sake, these people are fucking morons and they can't handwrite.
They can't handwrite, certainly. Just in case you're wondering, we are trying to alienate as many people as possible. We only want the really tip-top of the role-playing listeners.
Yes.
Well, we're playing in game lessons.
We are horrible, horrible people is the actual thing that we're getting through here.
He's a horrible, horrible person. Oh, I'm nice, really. But anyway, Spice Imperial team.
Yes.
Quite strong. Fairly spicy. Good with sugar.
Keeps
you awake. Quite a pleasant drink, all told.
Yes. To use Spice Imperial. Also, it's got a quote from Noel Coward on the box. Wouldn't it be dreadful to live in a country where they didn't drink tea? So America, then.
No, they're starting to drink tea. The weird thing about America is that everywhere you go, you can get Earl Grey tea. And do you know why everywhere you go, you can get Earl Grey tea?
Because people who really like Star Trek Next Generation keep wanting to buy it because of John Picard.
Exactly.
Fucking Jean-Luc Picard, the world's most English-sounding Frenchman. I'm from France, you know. Oui, la baguette. Make it so.
He wasn't particularly French. But no, it's everywhere. And the only problem is Earl Grey tea is just bergamot everywhere. It's horrible. It's foul. And I hate it. It's the only tea that America seems to do well, though. More's the pity. Well then, so that concludes the waffling about tea section. Wittards, I think this cost about, I think it was about £3 for a bag that has done 8 or 9 sessions, something like that.
And that's 3 big cups.
We make a pot each time.
Yeah.
There's still some more left in it.
Indeed there is.
You will need a tea strainer.
Yes.
Unless you like picking bits of, like, you know, cloves and orange peel out of your teeth. But it's really good. It's really good.
Tea. Feeling dead air.
Yeah, it's not really dead air. It was a break to appreciate your tea. I might timestamp it. Anyway, so, at this point, we will go on and review a game.
Yes.
The game we are reviewing is Sedition Wars, which is a new war game from Cool Mini or Not and Studio McVeigh. I actually kickstarted this because the minis are gorgeous.
They really, really are.
They're absolutely gorgeous, and because I was part of the Kickstarter, they're doing... Oh, this stupid chair. Sorry, every time I breathe, you're probably hearing a creaking sound. That sounded bad. Anyway, so I kickstarted this game. And kickstarters are interesting because most of them are like, well, you pay this money and you get the thing, and then if you pay this money, you get the thing with extra stuff, and then there's all these sort of stretch goals. If you reach the stretch goal, you'll get extra stuff. Not quite the same with the Sedition Wars one. There was a fair number of stretch goals, but there was also a fair number of add-ons. I'm still waiting for the minis for the add-ons.
You're still waiting for a knee for one of the minis for non-add-ons.
Yeah, that's true. I failed to receive a Barkus Oz's knee. Cool Mini or Not, tell me that they're on it. It'll probably turn up at some point. Oh, and a load of heavy weapons. Don't forget that.
Oh, yeah.
Of course. Completely armless troopers.
We can attack you with colourful language and a feather duster.
And no arms. But,
if they had no legs, they'd be really dangerous.
Yeah. Or not. Anyway,
Let's ask a Pretorius joke.
Yeah. Anyway. I've forgotten what I was going to say now.
Add-ons. You were talking about add-ons for Kickstarter.
Say, for example, the first add-on. Dr. Ripley... and Frog.
Yes, I have no idea what they could be referring to there.
There's a Riddick clone. I'm just going to call them by their names. Everybody knows what they are. There's a Riddick clone. There's... I might have to actually look these up. There's the crew of the Firefly, which is totally not Mal and all of the others. The Bastard Kickstarter.
I believe you mentioned there was an Isaac Clarke from Dead Space.
Yes, there is. Now, admittedly, I've not actually played Dead Space.
It's one of those games I think you can probably just watch a Let's Play online. You'll get most of the benefit for it.
I have heard that the later ones are not as good.
I did actually watch a video compilation of all the horrible deaths in it, which mainly made me realise, fucking hell, the shit they can get away with in gaming these days is insane.
Yeah, I remember the days when, like, driving over a pedestrian got your game banned.
Oh, yeah, the original
Destiny.
Carmageddon. That was a stupid game.
There's a pilot. Some huge Gnosis armor. Oh, there's Ramirez from Aliens. Niven Banks. Harrison Phaedrus, who totally doesn't look like number six from
The Prisoner?
No. Number six from Battlestar.
Oh, that was like Galactica. There's a totally different
numbers, there's the, quote, Calamity crew, which consists of somebody who isn't River, somebody who isn't Zoe, somebody who isn't Mal, and somebody who's definitely, definitely, definitely not Jane.
Does he have the woolly hat?
He is wearing the woolly
hat.
Oh,
God, man.
I kickstarted this, and I received the game about a month ago. There we go. First thing I'd say, the minis are absolutely gorgeous. Even the Strain minis that are all mutants with pipes coming out of them, they're beautiful miniatures. But, oh my god, they're a pain in the ass to put together.
They've got, it's the tiny little contact points, as far as I can tell.
Yeah. Some of them are amazing. Some of them have got proper sockets and pegs. I can't remember her name. The Akosha and the leader, whose name I have lost. It is... Kara. Lieutenant Kara Black? Easy to put together mini. With one exception. Her left arm that is holding a knife out at arm's length is just a flat contact point.
Nah, that's not so good.
That is the one you want to be a peg. I spent probably about 3 hours cleaning them. You have to take the mold release off. They won't glue together with the mold release on. Cleaning them and trying to glue them together. Oh, I wanted to murder Mike McRae by the end of it. It was like, some of them, you can see that he's actually looked at the minis and gone, right, I need this mini to go together really easily, and he's done it. He's put them together really easily. And then on some of them, he's gone, this is just a trooper. Flat contact points that are the size of a 28mm wrist, that'll be fine. And they're proper proportions, so the wrists are in proportion to the rest of the mini, which means they're tiny!
Sometimes I think practicality is a balancing act for miniature design.
I've managed to get most of them together now, and once they're together, they are gorgeous. They're gorgeous minis. The Vanguard are all like carapace armor, blank face plates, or strangely cyber poppy haircuts. And they've got some lovely military technology. There's something that is almost certainly the smart gun from Aliens. The main heavy weapon. They've got a very nice laser cannon. They've got a nice grenade launcher. The Strain are not so much pretty as quite horrifyingly terrifying.
Yeah, gnarly, perhaps, to use a phrase from the 90s.
They're unpleasant. But all the minis are excellently done. Well, obviously, it's Mike McVeigh. He wouldn't put his name on something that didn't have perfect miniatures. And they, once you've got them together, they are absolutely gorgeous. I'm a bit intimidated about the whole painting them thing. Because, much like the Malifaux, with such pretty miniatures, you want to do them right.
Mm.
I paint really slow.
Yeah, I mean, you paint, at least you actually paint. I don't paint. I am notorious for not painting. So slow is still better than not at all.
Although, it has been said, if a role player ever runs out of unpainted lead, they drop dead. So, yeah, you could say. technically
shit, speaking, I'm going to live forever, baby.
Yep, you're technically immortal.
Nice.
Onto the game. Now, we've played a game of Sedition Wars.
Yes, you've also played some games with Mr. Loka.
Yes, I've played another game. The game is really nice because you have an activation phase where you're actively doing stuff and a reaction phase where the other person's doing stuff and you might get to interrupt. It's kind of like... It plays a bit like Space Hulk.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you've got action points... Well, you've got two actions. It with the tactical net that the Vanguard get, it's kind of like command points...
Mm-hmm.
And the strain can spawn more strain. Yeah. And by spawn more strain, I mean occasionally a member of the Vanguard might turn into a strain due to clouds and nanospores filtering into their lungs and taking them over. I didn't actually manage to pull that off in our game.
No. I was more focusing on get the clouds of nanospores onto those things to get them alive, because that was, you know, part of the victory condition.
Yeah, the first mission is basically the strain have to infect 8 dead bodies.
Mm.
It is remarkably easy for the strain to win the first one. It's even more easy if you do it wrong and allow the strain to attack one of their own guys on the first turn.
Yeah. That didn't happen in the game we had, I should just point out.
No. It happened in the game versus Mr. Loka. And basically, first turn, they reenacted Aliens 3, murderized one of their guys to get the nano out of him. The nano floated over to a spore engine and turned into 6 nano.
I'm going to be pulling nerdy and say, I think you mean Alien 4.
Oh, do I?
Yeah, Alien Resurrection.
Yeah, no, you're correct.
To break out of the cell. There's only one alien in Alien 3.
Yes, on something that was supposed to be a wooden spaceship.
Yeah, I wish they'd done the wooden planet monastery idea.
It would have been that would very be
cool.
Odd. Cool. But
I mean, I like Alien 3. I'm one of those weirdos who likes all the Alien films.
Yeah. I like most of them. Aliens and Alien are very good. Alien 3 is a bit... And then Alien 4 is... Well, it's basically trying to be Aliens again.
Yes. To be fair, even Joss Whedon, who wrote the damn thing, didn't like it.
But, yeah. But anyway, so in the game... You get an active phase, and then the reaction phase. So you get to return fire if someone's charging towards you, or in the case of the strain, horribly murderize people if they shoot.
Yes. A sort of, oh, you shot at me, spring forward, kill.
Yeah. The Vanguard are very resilient, but once they start taking damage, they die pretty quickly.
Yeah, they stay damaged.
The strain, basically their special ability is there's shit tons of them, and you could always get more. And if you've got loads, you could turn them into more advanced strain.
Mm.
They have a sort of evolution mechanic where a basic strain creature, one of the revenants, aka fatties or skinnies after the miniatures, if you get enough nano around them, you can mutate them into a second rank.
Mm.
If you get even more nano around them, you can do it to a third rank. I think you can go all the way...
There is a fourth rank, I believe.
I think you can go to the fourth rank, but I know you can't go to fifth or sixth.
Yeah.
Because those two are unpleasant and special.
Yeah.
It makes for quite an interesting game. The major negatives that I have about the game, it needs a better rulebook.
Yeah. See, I can understand the problem there, because when you're doing a new product like this, even with all the playtesting in the world, you cannot inherently break a game the way that some random schmoes picking it up out of the box can. It's the same thing in any kind of gaming, computer gaming, tabletop gaming, role-playing games, you know, what have you. So that's why, you know, what's the term for it? Not appendices.
Frequently asked questions.
Things like that, yeah.
You see, The rulebook is good, but at the same time, it misses some things out, or basically, I have failed to find them in the rules. Things like the grenade launcher.
Yes, I remember.
You fire the grenade launcher at a particular model, and you roll against that particular model's defences, and then it produces a blast radius around it. Do the other creatures in the blast radius match against the same roll? Or do they just take the damage as if they were hit by the roll that the other guy was? Or do they take no damage and only get the effects of the grenade?
This is a question. There are no answers, at least not from the creators.
This is a question that should be answered in the rulebook, but isn't. There's a couple of things like that where the rulebook, it's well written, but and the rule system very simple to pick up, very quick to pick up.
It is.
But where there is a problem like that, you can't find any answers in the rulebook.
It has nebulous on specifics sometimes, which is a shame.
For example, it doesn't say if the strain can attack their own men.
Yeah.
Which makes a massive difference to the first mission for a start. Yeah. Because if they can, I do not see any way for the Vanguard to win that first mission.
Yeah. So that would logically lead to the answer being no.
But then it also, if it's no, then on other missions, they are probably going to struggle. We've only played the first mission at the moment. But it is a good game. I do like it. And I do think I'm going to play it more often. Mainly because it's very much like Space Hulk. And that's a good thing.
Yeah, I was never massively into Space Hulk, but this I did enjoy.
It probably helps that you're never not doing something.
Yeah, there's a constant stream of involvement. It's not so much your turn. The intermingling, it's a good dynamic. It keeps you involved. Because sometimes it can get that way with a war game, I find. You know, if it's not your turn, it can get very sort of tedious sitting there waiting.
Especially in something like Malifaux, where sometimes the other gang will just be taking your guys to bits.
Yeah, I'm looking at you, Ortegas.
Yeah, I mean, in Space Hulk, the Marine gets to do reaction stuff.
Mm.
But the Gene Stealer player never does. Mm. Whereas in this, both sides have got stuff they can do. And both sides are very distinctive. Because the Strain have got a lot of weird special abilities to do with how they use their nano and how they can infect the Vanguard and slowly turn them into Revenants. And how they can sneak nano into places and resurrect corpses.
Yay!
And the forced evolution stuff. Whereas the Vanguard is very, you want to keep a flow of those tactical points coming in.
Yeah.
And then applying them out, whacking them on guys to use them as target markers, and using them to power your own guys' special abilities. I mean, the heavy gunner's rock and roll is just fantastic.
Yes. God, that was unpleasant.
I can see one of your guys. There are four other guys around him. I'm going to spend one tactic point to do rock and roll. I'll shoot, roll, six times. I'll apply two to the guy I'm shooting at and one to everybody else. Oh, did they all die? How surprising. It was quite horrible.
There's a reason I kept trying to kill him.
Yeah. In the end, he didn't have to.
Yeah,
because he completed the mission without it.
Yes, and that's why playing to the mission is good.
Yeah. But it's also why the Vanguard will struggle with that first one. Because it's just eight corpses that you need to resurrect as the Strain. And to resurrect a corpse, you get some nano next to it, and then spend the nano.
How do you get more nano? Well, you and your people get shot, say, by the Vanguard.
Or you can use the Spore Engine.
Yeah.
Which is, I turn one nano into D6. And you can do that once a turn, but that still means every turn you could be getting, well, on average you'd be getting 3.5 nano each turn.
Yeah.
Which is hideous. Now, I took a Grenadier, on the game we played,
to
try and use their radiation grenades to kill the nano. But the problem was, I had to keep that thing firing so many incendiary and actual explosive grenades to keep your numbers down. I never got to take any of the nano out.
Yeah, and by doing that, you were also giving me more spores. So that ended up playing to my advantage.
Yeah. I think next time I might actually take two grenadiers.
That I could see being a valid strategy.
And then I could fire one, do damage, fire the other one, and take out the nano.
Yeah.
It's a very good game. It's well thought out. I do think it's crying out for a frequently asked questions. I'll start the ball rolling with how the hell do grenades work?
And I just remembered the word I was trying to think of earlier, errata.
Okay, thank you. the only other problem I have with it is it's got a card for your mini. And it's got a wound track along the bottom. But the problem with the wound track along the bottom is you have to keep turning the thing over to look at its reaction stuff.
And they don't actually give you any little marker for it. You have to just put it with your own.
Personally, I'm intending to use a card sleeve, which you can't see me holding up towards the microphone. I've just realised.
He totally is, but, yeah. You know.
Because then what you could do is, if you put a card sleeve over the cards, you can either draw on it with OHP pen, or attach a paper clip to the bottom and slide that along.
Ah, yes, I like this. This is a good plan.
The only other problem we had, and it's because the minis aren't painted, is telling one fatty revenant from another fatty revenant got really difficult.
Yeah.
Really difficult. Because they're cookie cutter miniatures, and without a paint job to differentiate one from another. I'm not sure how you'd fix that, really. I don't think there is a way. It'll have to be done in paint.
Yeah.
Which is a bit of a shame. But anyway, that was our review of Sedition Wars. We may revisit it once we've played more games. Right, I suppose we'll go on to some video gaming.
Yes, bleep, bloop, and so forth. Sorry, this is my attempt to segue.
Segue. Yeah. Anyway, off you go.
Bleep, bloop. Now, yes. So, video games. Most recently, we have been playing an awful lot of PlanetSide 2.
Oh, good God, yes. A lot of PlanetSide 2.
Yes. Admittedly, not so much for myself this week due to Far Cry 3. Damn you, Far Cry 3, you and your addictive properties. And although, to be fair, there are, in some ways, RPG elements to that as well, with the constant skill track. But to be honest, a lot of games now do seem to be incorporating quasi-RPG elements.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, no, it is. It is a good thing. It's certainly a damn shame than bloody Call of Duty.
And there goes all the Call of Duty players. I have to agree. My dad is actually a Call of Duty player.
Huh.
He Black Ops player.
Yeah.
He's only recently gotten into PC gaming. And he's my dad, so he's relatively old. But no, he quite likes the Call of Duty games. They're relatively
straightforward.
Yeah, that's the nice way of putting it.
Shite is the other term you could use, but yeah, you know,
I wouldn't classify them as shite. I mean, I played through one level of games he had. And it was an acceptable shooter.
It's competently made. It's just, it's hide behind cover, pop-up shoot, hide behind cover, pop-up shoot.
Which is exactly what I do in PlanetSide, but...
Yeah, but there's still a bit more dynamism.
Dynamism? Dynamicness. Dynamicness!
No, I'm pretty sure dynamism is the actual word. I'm pretty sure dynamicism is not a word.
Probably not.
But who cares?
It would help if we could say it.
Yeah. Also, the thing that PlanetSide 2 has here of Call of Duty is you've got, you know, hundreds of people aside battles, and everyone is actually a person.
The actually a person thing is really very useful, because Some games that I've played in the past. I'm playing Skyrim again at the moment, and in Skyrim, you seem to have one or the other type of AI. It's either the AI that will run into a room and get stuck on a chair and swing his sword wildly at you while going, "Why isn't this working?" Then there's the other guy who you will walk into a room and he'll have hidden behind the door just in time to knife you. So sometimes you get nice even fights where somebody doesn't get stuck on a door. But I do prefer games where I'm not a big one for PvP.
No, I don't think me either.
I hated PvP in World of Warcraft. I didn't get on well with the PvP in Warhammer Age of Reckoning. I never did the PvP in the Secret World and things like that.
Mm.
But Planetside, the original, and Planetside 2, because there's enough non-combat battlefield roles that you could also do, I find it much less grating.
Yeah, I mean, focusing on things like medic or engineer.
Yes, you can call me NC Jesus.
Which I guess would sort of make me NC St. Paul?
Yeah, NC St. Paul a little bit. But yeah, I spend a lot of my time as a medic.
Mm.
And I've gotten fairly good at it. But I also think that one of the main things that helps Planetside over other gun games, or other like
FPSs. Yeah. In general.
Well, not really FPSs. More sort of multiplayer FPSs. So things like Counter Strike and so on.
Oh, that's sort of like team based.
The battlefields are massive enough that you can pull off some small level tactical stuff, like flanking the enemy. Flanking the enemy in the real world is epic. You run around the side of them and hit them where it hurts while they're looking the other way. In Planetside 2, flanking is epic. You run around the side of them and shoot them in the nads while they're looking at the base they're assaulting.
With a submachine gun at close range, yeah. Which is always.
I've done that as an infiltrator. But yeah, we're on Miller in the MC. We are both in the same outfit.
Which is just terrible, darling, because it means, you know, we didn't plan well enough, we clash.
Mm.
Oh ho, I made a fashion joke.
Yeah, I don't understand fashion.
Neither do I. I'm not coming up with a stereotype, I'm on the internet, let's be honest.
basically, being MC means you get very strong firing guns. They fire slowly, and when you hit someone with them, it really hurts. Which technically means they're the least powerful weapons in the game.
Yeah.
They have a ton of drop. Their recoil is ridiculous.
Oh god, yes.
You can get good with them. I mean, on my medic, I used the GR-22, which is a relatively stable submachine. I always use it suppressed, so nobody knows where I am. Because being a medic, I tend to hide in corners and hope that people don't notice me until they've gone past, killed all my guys, I run out and heal everyone. But because our guns fire so slowly and hit so hard, it means if you hit someone, they're going to immediately start screaming, "Fuck me, OP, OP," because they've died to one or two shots.
Mm.
The problem is, you got to hit with them.
Yeah.
And that's not the easiest thing in the world to do. The Dirty Fish Heads, also known as the Vanny.
Vanny was Sovereignty.
Oh, yes, the Vanny Sovereignty.
Sovereignty, darling. Look at all the tanks. Yeah. We wear purple.
They've got the best vehicles.
Yeah,
hands down.
They got hover tanks and, you know, the Cylon Raiders. Sides.
They're so manoeuvrable, sides. They explode if you hit them.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yes.
You have to hit them first.
Don't get me wrong. On the very few times where I've crept up behind a scythe with my reaver with the air hammer on the front, it's been thoroughly wonderful to press the trigger and see them explode into a ball of flame. But the problem is, if they notice you coming, they will start dodging, and the reaver is not keeping up.
No.
They're faster than the Reaver, I think, but they're also way more manoeuvrable.
Oh, God, yes.
The only thing the Reaver's got in its favour, I believe, is its afterburner is stronger than everybody else's. Mm. But yeah, the Dirty Fish Heads have got wonderful laser weaponry. And things like the Solstice and the Quasar... You walk around the corner and see a guy with the Solstice, you may as well click the redeploy button.
Yeah.
It fires so very fast, and it is so very damaging, and it doesn't seem to be that difficult to aim with.
Hmm.
I can't actually test the value weapons out, because I've got three slots for characters, two of them are NC, one of them's a Terran.
Yes.
But the weapons don't have very much drop. I'm told they do have some drop, but they don't have very much. And although they've got no vertical recoil, they've got horizontal recoil.
Which is not quite as damaging as vertical recoil, to be honest.
Because you could still hit them in the shoulders.
Yeah, or if there's a group of them advancing on you, you can hit multiple targets.
And it has to be said, of all of the tanks... The Mag Rider is the best.
Yeah, because it can...
It can strafe.
It can strafe. A strafing fucking tank is a nightmare, let me tell you, when you are trying to tank hunt.
Yeah. If you're in a Vanguard, and you are trying to engage a Mag Rider at very long range, our guns fire slowly. When they hit, they're going to do a ton of damage, but they fire slowly, and you actually have to hit with them.
Yeah.
Which means you have to contend with bullet projectile drop, and also, like, the aiming of it. So if they're strafing between two points, yes, you can work out where they're going to be and then fire there instead of where they are, but it's not that easy to do.
Yeah, and it's not an impossible if they're playing fucking peekaboo.
Yeah.
Which they do, because it's a tactic that makes sense. I'm not gonna brag on them for doing what makes fucking sense. I'd do the same thing. I just don't, because I'm not a fish fucker.
It should be noted, the Vanu look like fish. So it is widely agreed by the other two empires, the NC and the Terrans, that they probably have far too much interest in the pissy nature of their friends.
They sleep with the fishes for an entirely wrong meaning, then.
Yeah. Mag Riders did sort of get fixed for a little bit, because a bug went in that caused them not to hover as high, so they were getting caught up.
Mm.
During that period of time, I found them actually about on a par with our tanks.
Mm.
They've since had that bug fixed.
Funny that.
Yeah. They're unpleasant again now. Mm. The... Tanks in Planetside tend not to last very long anyway, because there's so much air power, and your average heavy assault guy can see off a tank, if not destroy it.
Yeah, if you're smart about it, and you know what you're doing, one guy can take out a tank as a heavy assault. I have done so myself.
So have I.
It's fine.
I'm actually quite good at decimator sniping if people have parked up and are either repairing or shooting at somebody else.
Well, and then just in terms of groups, if there is nothing more fun than the call out target and four simultaneous rocket launches on the same tank. Oh god. Oh god. Oh, I need some new trousers.
There was one outfit night where we all went with the Annihilator before the Annihilator got nerfed to basically uselessness. The lock-on time is far too long.
It really is. It's pity too.
But we had the two squads set up in one of the new style spawn rooms on the roof.
Yeah.
There was a, I think there's a Terran tank Zerg coming towards us, and we were calling targets, and you'd literally, you'd see a tank roll over the hill to start shelling us, and then you'd see eight rockets streaking out towards it. It'd start frantically reversing and then suddenly explode. It was a thing of beauty. Well, that's the Fishfuckers definitely have the best vehicles. For best weapons, I'm going to go with the Elmos.
Yeah, that's the Terran Republic.
The Terran Republic has fast firing, but relatively small damage projectiles. Mm. But they're fast firing with not that much recoil, and I've played these. Mm. They're ridiculous. The T9 Carve and the T5 Track, they're basic weapons that they don't have to pay any cert points for, they don't have to buy with money, are so good.
Mm.
I would say probably 50% of all of my deaths in Planetside have been to either one of those two guns.
Yeah, I think I've seen those names pop up a lot on my nuclear.
Usually it's the T9 Carve.
Mm.
They're so good, they're ridiculous. Now, admittedly, the Terran's vehicles are not that impressive.
No.
The I've forgotten his name.
Prowler?
Yeah. The Prowler has recently been buffed, so it might have gotten a bit better.
Yeah.
But before, it was pretty much...
You could breathe on the fucking thing.
Yeah, it was pretty much a joke. It did need a buff.
Yeah.
I'm unsure whether they might have gone a bit too far.
Yeah, the problem is we've got an inherent bias here. I mean, you could probably get Terran Republic people saying the same things about NC stuff. You probably get Fishfuckers saying the same things about.
Well, I know that you can because I've talked to some of them. But the Prowler.
Yourself afterwards.
Yeah.
Good. The
Prowlers. I think they're probably about on a par now.
Yeah.
They have the benefit that they've got rapid-firing cannons.
Yeah.
So they can spaff more bullets down range than we can.
Yeah.
In a Vanguard, it's you fire, you reload.
Yeah.
In a Prowler, it's you fire twice, then you reload. Yeah. With a Magrider, it's you fire and fire and fire and fire
and
fire.
Strafe and strafe and strafe and pop out.
The Mosquito, I miss the Mosquito being a common pool vehicle.
Hmm.
In Planetside 1, it was a common pool vehicle, and it was brilliant for scouts. You'd slap on an infill suit, you'd fly out to a tower, you'd take the tower on your own, and then you'd start porting your guys in. And it is a lovely, lovely plane. It's better than the Reaver.
Mm.
It's faster, and it seems more manoeuvrable. I'm not sure if it is. It's made of toilet paper. But you don't need...
the scouting.
Yeah. You don't need to be heavily armoured if you're that fast. I played a bit on the Terrans. I was flying about, I think it was about 280. I was going... That was possibly with Afterburner, though. But they're substantially faster than Reavers. And their primary weapon, the rotary cannon, is brilliant for anti-air work. But as I was saying, they've got the best guns. The T9 Carve. I hate that gun.
Unless you're using it.
I hate that gun. I even hate it when I use it because I feel so cheap. I honestly feel cheap when I'm using the T9 Carve because I know that the people I'm shooting at on the other side are doing exactly what I was doing when I was getting shot by it, which is go, oh, in hell, the T9 Carve again? Jesus, guys, find another gun!
You have become the thing you hated.
Yeah, but you get so many kills with the fucking thing. It's just ridiculous.
But cheap kills. Cheap kills, Mordrigan!
Yeah. The NC, the thing that we're mostly good at is being really obvious at night due to our wonderful choice of blue and yellow.
It's a bitching colour scheme, though, I gotta say.
And we're an amazing colour scheme, and our obvious disdain for the usual uses of camouflage.
We're like the Ultramarines, but not
crap.
Yeah. But
and we believe in freedom!
Yeah, yeah, freedom and, you know, shareholders.
And music that sounds a bit like we nicked it from Firefly.
Yeah, I did actually turn the music off because it wouldn't shut up one night.
The Guitars of Justice, man.
Yeah, the Guitars of Justice started playing when I took one bass and then never stopped. It got really annoying. Planetside is a really good game, though.
It is free, we should point out. It is one of those, well, it can be referred to derogatorily as pay to win. Planetside doesn't work out that way so much because you can buy with money guns and equipment and so forth.
I should point out, as the NC, I would heartily recommend buying at least 1,000 station cash to begin with. Testing out some weapons and getting some weapons that are not the starting weapons.
Yeah.
The NC starting weapons are uniformly terrible.
Yeah, they're not very good.
The scatter cannon on the Max is quite pleasant, but you want that other arm. Because nothing makes people cry more than walking around the corner into a guy with shotguns for arms.
I just love the reload animation for that as well.
Yeah.
It's one of those little things. I'm a sucker for the little things. A good reload animation.
But Planetside is good because you can log on and if you've got an outfit, which we do, you can log on and you can go with your outfit, do very tactical things. I mean, you've seen how we operate.
Yeah.
I'm not going to mention the name of the outfit at the moment because I need to talk to the guy in charge of the outfit to find out if he would like us to mention them. But
we know who you are, guys.
Sorry?
You know who you are, guys.
Yeah, hopefully they'll be listening to it. You never know.
Yeah.
But we do fast response. We have a tendency to be the knights in shining armour who ride in at the last moment and try and resecure things or take things off the enemy.
Yeah.
We do not sing
that we are knights of the round table. We dance when we're able. We have resisted temptation to do so. We have on occasion, however, done aerial assaults to Road of the Valkyries.
Yeah, we have done that. I need more practice.
And what's Gammonham style?
Oh, yeah. I remember that. I need more practice with my galaxy. I used to be the galaxy pilot in Planetside 1. And I miss being able to do it. But there's so many people wanting to fly galaxies.
Yeah, I don't fly because I'm crap at it. I ground pound. It's what I do.
I'm getting better at Reaver. Buying the various chassis helps a lot.
Right, I might have to look into investing some cert points in that.
That is the thing about Planetside, though. You can pay for a subscription, which will get you priority access to the game if there's a queue to log onto your server.
And there are busy times, mostly evenings, European time. Americans, you'll be quids in. There's not as many American players on Planetside. It seems to be predominantly European.
Really?
I can't say I've noticed that many Americans.
On the European servers, no.
I'm going to just do a face part. I'm just going to remove my glasses so I don't mind them up.
We're playing on the European servers. That'd be why there's no Americans, because they've got their own servers.
Good. I'm afraid of Americans. I'm afraid of the world. I'm afraid I can't help it. I'm afraid I can't.
Okay. Enough David Barry. Where was I? Okay. Yes. You can pay to get in. The subscription runs about, is it £9 a month?
It works out about that if you get the 6 month.
Because you get extra experience points, you get passive cert games, you get an amount of station cash each month.
Yeah.
If you can afford it, it's worth doing, and you know that you're going to play the game that long, it's worth doing big subscriptions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, Planetside 1, I played Planetside 1 something like 4 years straight. And I was paying £15 a month. So, yeah, I know that I'm going to play that long.
Yeah, exactly.
And the benefits are massive because you can buy, well, up until last week, you could buy any weapon in the game with either cert points or money.
Yeah.
The only things that you have to buy with money are things like ornamentations and camos.
Yeah. Camos do have some actual game use. Ornamentations are strictly for show.
Yeah.
I'd say they're silly, but I actually bought skull masks for my two preferred classes, heavy assault and medic, and the ablative armour that just looks bulkier.
Yeah. The composite armour on the heavy and the exoskeleton armour on the NC Max both look fantastic.
They do. This game has really good art design, I will say.
Yeah.
It really does.
There's currently three continents mm-hmm. in the game. They've said that they're going to do another continent soon. Hossin is being worked on. I loved Hossin back
then. Sounds oriental.
No, it's kind of a... If I remember correctly, it was a swampy, foresty sort of place.
All right.
And Hossin was...
fucking Dagobah.
Yeah. Hossin was my favourite place to fly on. Because I had practiced on Hossin so much, I could fly a galaxy through the trees.
Ooh.
At afterburner speeds.
Ooh.
Admittedly, I did once clip a tree, swing the entire thing round, and smash an entire squad of troops sideways into an enemy AMS, killing us all. But it didn't matter, the AMS still died.
That's the important thing.
Yeah. I do recommend that if you do go onto Planetside, you get an outfit.
Yeah.
Solo playing Planetside, if you just want to relax and shoot at stuff, you're alright. But
I do that sometimes.
Yeah,
sometimes I just don't want to talk to people. I don't want to have to follow orders from a sergeant. I just want to bomb around on my flash and do random shit.
Yeah, so, I mean, yesterday I went on for an hour while you lot were eating pizza before road trip.
Yeah.
And just flew around in a Reaver blowing shit up, because I could.
Yeah.
But for long-term play, you want to have an outfit.
Mm.
You want to be in a relatively good outfit.
Yeah.
The outfit we're in is fairly active.
Yeah. There are generally people playing.
Yeah. There'll be usually a squad, at least half a squad on at any given time.
Yeah.
And just in case you're watching, ladies and gentlemen, if you do happen to go on to NC Miller, that is Miller, the server Miller, you may occasionally find me running recruitment squads for the outfit I'm a member of. Look for Mordrigan in the squad list. Anyway, that's the advertising done.
They're paying us for that, right?
Yeah.
God damn it!
Money. You wish. Right. Well, I think we've pretty much we're going to talk about Planetside a lot.
This will be a recurring theme.
Yeah, because it is such a good game, and it deserves to do well.
It does, and it doesn't seem to have that much publicity. But it's unique. It's an MMO that's not trying to be fucking WoW, basically. Because, you know, that worked out so fucking well with Old Republic.
Mm. See, I also like The Secret World, but the Secret World had problems. The Secret World's main issue was, if you didn't have certain builds, you couldn't progress in the game.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think we'll probably move on now.
Yeah.
This is the bit where you're going to hear us corpsing constantly.
Yes, save for the man.
This is a section which I will admit I've ripped off Dungeons and Dragons Goodbye and Poseidon Fans. Anybody who listens to that podcast will know what I'm talking
about. And I will spoil it. This is the sort of thing that does happen quite a bit on Counter Monkey videos as well. It's a story from the past of gaming gone awry. So awry.
Not gone awry as run afoul of players.
Players being special with the capital 5.
Right. The player in question is a gentleman who we're going to call Dr. Broomstick.
Yes.
It's not his real name, but we're not going to use his real name to protect the guilty.
Yes.
Let me set the scene for you. There is an Imperial planet. Very shortly, a vast meteor is going to hit the Imperial planet, killing everybody upon it.
We should point out this is Dark Heresy.
This
is 40K Heresy. Imperial.
Yeah. This is Dark Heresy. So, massive meteor heading towards the planet. They've already sent out their defence ships, and they've been lost. Hovering above the planet is an Imperial Tithe fleet, who are, strangely, refusing to meet with the Planetary Governor, and refusing to go and do anything about it. The Planetary Governor is considering killing the Admiral in charge of the Tithe fleet, even though this will probably mean that his planet will get bombed to shit. So the players arrive and go, that meteor's bad. Why won't these guys help? Okay, what we need to do is find some way of persuading the Admiral to help. They went and they did some research. And they found out the Governor's daughter had, left, with a Tithe fleet some 20 years previous. And they decided to look into this at greater detail. It turns out she hadn't left. In fact, the guy who was the Admiral of the fleet had unfortunately killed her. He didn't know it was a mutant. Things happened. She died. And with the help of his toothy stomach, it was bad. So with the help of his doctor friend, who was actually the guy who turned him into a mutant, not that he knew that, they took the body and they hid it in the woods. Now, the players, being players, found this out. They went and they found the body. Dr. Broomstick uncovered the body himself, found the body of the daughter wrapped in the Admiral's coat, and thought, right, we can use this as leverage against the Admiral. We can go and point to this body and say, look, Admiral, we found this, we know it's your fault, help these people, or we'll make it public. So they decided to take the body with them, they folded it up and put it in a rucksack. And they headed back to the capital city, where they were going to get a shuttle to go up to their ship and talk to the Admiral. That's the bit they didn't do right. What they actually did was went back to the city and decided to tell the Governor that very soon his planet would be saved. They walked into the Governor and said, don't worry, we're going to save your planet. How are you going to do that? He said. Well, we found out what happened with regards to your daughter, and we think we can use that to save your planet. Well, I hope it works, because otherwise I'm going to go and kill the Admiral. I'm going to send an assassin. Don't worry, it's going to work. So, what happened with my daughter? Have you found her? And this is where Dr. Broomstick said the line that I will remember forever. Yes, we did. And then he handed in the bag. The bag full of his daughter's corpse, wrapped in the Admiral's coat, with the Admiral's name stenciled on the front. I don't think we said anything for about 5 minutes after he did that.
It was then immediately followed by myself, in tones possibly heard from orbit, saying, what the fuck?
We literally sat there for about 5 minutes. I honestly didn't know what to say when he did that. Because he handed her the bag. The bag. And the Governor opened the bag and looked down at this corpse dressed in the guy's jacket. And I just went, I have no idea what I'm going to do now. Absolutely no idea. All the players were sat around staring at Dr. Broomstick in shock and amazement. And the worst thing was, he hadn't realised what he'd done. He was just sitting there going, what?
Admittedly, he was playing an Imperial Commissar. These are people not known for tact, but they still understand the concept of fucking tact to some degree. They just don't use it very often.
We sat there until basically you shouted at him and everybody just went, why did you do that? Why?
Even the party psychopath thought that this was really fucking weird.
Eventually, I actually had to leave the room and try and work out what was going on. And I came back and I just went, as the Governor, get off my planet. They all left, and immediately he sent the assassin off to kill the Admiral. Immediately.
Yes.
So they ended up having a fight with the Admiral. The other team, who I was running through the same thing, didn't give him a bag full of daughter.
Funny that.
But that was the story of a bag full of daughter.
And we should just point out, Dr. Broomstick is actually a doctor. He has a doctorate.
He's a real doctor.
He's a doctor, yeah.
Not a doctor. He's a doctor of something.
He's a doctor of biology. He works in...
Biology? I thought it was chemistry he's a doctor of.
No, wait, no, you're right. It's chemistry. He works in beer.
Yeah. I suspect he might have sampled his mercury a bit too often.
he hasn't gone ginger.
Does the mercury make you go ginger?
Yes.
Oh, fair enough.
Yes, it did. It made you crazy. That's why it happened to hatters. Yeah. Hence, man's a hatter.
You learn something new every day?
Yes, you do.
Ah, right. Well, we're coming up on an hour and a half, so I reckon we're probably done. Welcome to the outro. It's intended that we're going to have some actual plays. The actual plays will be of the rather wonderful, if slightly bizarre, Unhallowed Metropolis. Unfortunately, I have to gather the players and, you know, force them to sit down and do stuff. Not sure when that's going to be, but we're not going to release this one straight away.
Yes. So as I said, sorry if we missed out on any exciting topical events.
Obviously, we have a blog at thecultoftandice.net. You do need the, otherwise you won't find us.
Because we're British, damn it.
And I believe there's email addresses connected to that, or you can leave comments.
There is also a Twitter account for the...
The Cult of Tea and Dice.
Yeah.
I think it's actually called at Cult of Tea and Dice. I don't think you need the for that.
No, not for Twitter. We left that because, you know, word limits and shit.
Okay. Anything you want to say?
Give me money. Go on, you know you want to, internet. I know you're good for it.
Please note, we are actually accepting donations because we've got no way to take them.
Yeah, no, this is a lie. We actually both have full-time employment. It's just that I'm whore, basically, so, you know...
You're poor, or you're a whore?
I was going with whore. Not literally, like, a whore. Unless you're a very attractive guy, in which case, yes, sure, why not?
He's waffling.
Yes, he is. Yes, he really is.
I think we should stop.
Right,
thank you very much. This has been the first The Cult of Tea and Dice podcast. You never know, it may even see the light of day.
Maybe.